I always liked him when I, you are my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with you. Deans, now that we have so many different translations, some of the words come out differently, but God is recognizing Jesus as his son and who he was pleased with. It was a powerful way for Jesus to start his ministry here on this earth. Doves are an important part of that, a dove coming and landing on him. In the Song of Songs, in chapter 6, verse 9, it says this, "My dove, my perfect one, is unique." Now, I don't know if you've ever been around cities and your travels or different things. And we have some in Tallahassee, too, but you don't seem to have as many as you do in the big cities. And we call them pigeons. And they are crazy birds. They're dirty. They leave droppings. They'll even drop on your head sometimes if you're not careful, if you're walking around. And yet, we honor the dove as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. These birds, pigeons, and all the other species are all part of that same bird family. Now, while we have all tended to those different things and going to the city and feeding pigeons, and fascinating to watch them, they identify themselves sometimes as wild birds, pigeons. Doves also are in that same family. A lot of times you hear people around here especially saying, "I'm going dove hunting." You know, it's just fascinating that they're all part of the same family. But the misunderstanding about pigeons and doves is, according to the scientists, they seem to have pairings that come from very different names of the birds all around different parts of the country, different parts of the world. But in Jesus' time, there would have been known as wild doves that found its nest in the high hills and the peaks and the cliffs in Israel at the time. And similar to the ones described in Scripture, especially in the Song of Songs, unlike our own idea of doves, which is harmoniously all part of the same family, in Israel, some of them are white. Some of the doves were gold. And, well, not were, they still are. Some of the doves in Israel are gold in color, silver color, golden bodies with silver tips on their wings. And these birds would gleam in the sun. These wild, mysterious ones were free. They were mountain birds. They were able to go and do whatever they wanted to do whenever they wanted to do it. But these wild, mysterious birds represent many ways that God and his creative spirit showed us the story. Not only did these doves are fascinated by not only did these doves fascinate visibly people all around, different from any other bird, they were pairing for life. Love, you ever hear that song about love, turtle doves and all that? That doves are, yeah, they're the kind of bird that they're just paired for life. The male and the female bird is paired for life. They live in the plains and they never abandon their nest. I find that interesting. One of the most intriguing aspects of Jesus' baptism is the dove, the imagery which described the Holy Spirit descending upon him. So here, understanding something about the Jewish people and Jewish customs, because we come from that tradition, Jewish tradition, because Jesus was raised Jewish, our conceptions of the dove can help us to understand the deep symbolism behind this description of the Holy Spirit. First thing is, the Holy Spirit is said to, according to Mark's gospel, like a dove descending on Jesus. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens part and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Although many assume that he, in the paragraph, is John's vision of Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, not John the disciple. Receiving the Holy Spirit. But it could have been Jesus just coming up out of the water and seeing that the Holy Spirit descending upon him and hearing the voice of God. If John is viewing this phenomena, then we can assume that it had occurred, so that John and those present can witness to Jesus' identity and mission, similar to the healings Jesus does, and with the purpose that people can witness to who he is and what his mission is. God's amazing glory is revealed in this, and the event seems to point us to Jesus, the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, God's Messiah. So if the viewer is Jesus himself, depicts a very personal experience of God's official ordination of Jesus and his sacrificial ministry. Because it'll suggest that we both embrace all the things and all the meanings that God has given to us. And for the depiction of the Holy Spirit as a dove, this symbolism is deep, and it's extensive, and it means an awful lot, not only in the Jewish tradition, but also in the Christian tradition. Several scripture references kind of help illuminate that in the Jewish symbolism of the dove. Think about this. In Genesis chapter 1, talked about this dove. The Song of Solomon talked about the dove. The story of Jonah, the story of Noach, it's a Hebrew word that I can't say properly, but it simply means resting place. Resting place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my house there are many resting places. So from the beginning of the creation story, God's creative spirit is described in the Talmud as hovering over creation, as a dove hovers over her nest. The gleaming gold and silver bird with upraised, flattering wings represents the creative divine energy of God, and also the nurturing, loving aspect of God who loves creation and calls it good. God is a relational God, and like a mother dove, pledges in covenant to protect, to be a loyal parent. God is also being that same way in the protection of his creation throughout eternity. The feminine aspect of God and the Holy Spirit is also typical in the Jewish faith. Ruach is the Hebrew word that I can say, because I know that what it means, and I've used that word a lot, so I kind of got comfortable with it. And the Hebrew word Ruach is for the Holy Spirit. It's a feminine word in the Hebrew language, and many attributes to the Holy Spirit with the nurturing qualities of the multifaceted, multigendered God of creation, Elohim. So, like in the Song of Songs, if you ever read the Song of Songs, it's a love story. One of Solomon's love stories. It echoes both the protective and the strikingly exquisite qualities of the Holy Spirit, which is nurturing, loving, and loyal. And whether symbolizing a parent or a lover, the dove is a creature that symbolizes the kind of fidelity and passionate love that describes God's covenantal nature and his place with humanity. So in this sense, the symbol of the dove in Jesus' baptism is like the rainbow in Noah's story. It's a covenant marker symbolizing new life and a new covenant. And the sign that God is breaking through our world in order to do something new and amazing that will change everything. So the nurturing parent, God, is also sacrificial. And while the dove itself is a sacrificial animal, if you remember, they used to buy the doves and so forth when they go to the temple for the forgiveness of sin, the dove has been an important part of a love relationship with God. Jesus' baptism signifies the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. As God's Son, as God's Messiah, God incarnate, The symbol of the dove also exhibits God's grand sacrifice of self. In order to redeem his people, his beloved creation from sin, he would do anything and everything, being passionate, loving, and loyal. And he would do everything and everything to save his creation. And a declaration of his love is when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is the best of God's creative energy. And Jesus as God will become the atoning sacrifice for all of creation. So in this, we can also hear the low, mournful cooing of the cove. Do you ever hear the pigeons coo, the doves coo? It's relaxing. The suffering servant, the long-suffering lover, the dove remains in its nest, and after its chicks have flown, the Holy Spirit will also protect Jesus in his mission, because he serves sacrificially as the Prince of Peace. You can find that in Isaiah's prophecy. Even as Jesus is blessed in his baptism, he is at the same time, this is hard to think about, but it's so true. At his baptism, he was commissioned for a death mission. Think about that. He was commissioned at his baptism to die for us, a death mission. His purity and divine nature would be tested by fire and proven in his temptations in the wilderness, the voice of God declaring, "Jesus is beloved." He is still mournful. His voice of the dove, knowing Jesus' final mission, will entail. God will sacrifice God in his order of redeeming us for his beloved creation. He loves us that much. So yeah, we're in this old world, trials and tribulations. But Jesus gave us an awful lot of insights when he was here on this earth. He said, "Fear not, I am with you always until the end of the age." He said, "Oh, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world." And he said, you know, we're in the world, not of the world. Giving us hope that we have something much better ahead. We got to deal with all this stuff. We're in the world, so we got to deal with worldly stuff. But we're not of the world. We have something as individuals who have received this grace from God through love relationship with Jesus Christ, that we have something much better ahead for us. I know I said this many times, and I like what the Apostle Paul said, and I paraphrase it. If we only had this life to look forward, all this crap that goes on all the time, all our challenges, things that we need to do, things we should do, and all, if we only had that mundane thing every day of our life, we'd be miserable. But praise be to God, we got hope. We got the blessed hope of Christ and eternal life. So finally, the sign of Jonah. Yonah means dove in Hebrew. And many represent the mournful meaning and the moaning of God's voice, both lamenting the sins of humanity and yet bestowing redemption upon it. This plays out most perfectly in the story of Noah, Noach, in Genesis chapter 8, verses 8 through 12, as the ark lands on Mount Ararat. Noach, which means God's resting place. And the typical nautical practice been going on for years, ever since the sailors started sailing the seas, and they would take all kinds of things with them to help them guide through uncharted waters. The nautical practice of sending out a dove three times. The first time, the dove comes back. The second time, the dove returns with an olive branch, signifying God's promise of new life and a new covenant. And the third time, the dove does not return. You see, this sign for Noah is the ultimate sign of God's redemptive power and love and grace, and for a renewed and restored and a blessed creation with a brand new start. Aren't you glad you start anew every day? It really is so cool. So Jesus' baptism is a monumental sign of God's plan to come, a new covenant that would appear not just as a sign of the rainbow, but a symbol of fire. But in the priesthood of Christ himself, for God created it and he called it good. And now God redeems and calls his redemptive plan pleasing. So today, think about your baptism. Now, we can't do it. I was going to do the thing that maybe some of you know that I've done in the past, talking about baptism, walking through the congregation with baptismal water and just flicking it upon you. Remember your baptism and be holy. The baptismal covenant is really special in a lot of ways. And in the hymnal and baptismal covenant number one, it said, "Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given a new birth through water and spirit. All this is a gift of God offered to us without price." Now, we don't remember how we came into this world, but we know from history and women having children and different things we talk about. Oh, her water burst. Yeah, think about that. We come into this world with the cleansing of water. And then we go through the covenant relationship, and I ain't going to go through that with you, but baptism is so important. So just briefly, the shorter version of the baptism is this. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. And the children you brought through the Jordan into the land of promise. And we say to the congregation, and they respond by saying, "We give thanks for all that God has already given to us, and we welcome you into Christian love. And we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified." Those are some of the covenant things when we enter into a membership in United Methodist Church. It doesn't make us anything special, but we are a covenant community. We are a connectional community, and they're very, very important. So today, I just want you to remember and think about your own memories of baptism. And as you renew your own baptismal vows in your heart or ways that you would like to do it just in prayer, I invite you all to remember that sacrificial gift of your Creator God, in whom the power of the Holy Spirit has blessed you in this covenant relationship for eternity and loving redemption.